someone meets you for the first time and asks, who are you? How would you answer? I guess the most common answer would be to give your name. We might also tell them a bit of our family history and the connections that help identify us. Often we'll tell something about our work, the things we do, and how we spend our time. Can't, however, think of a single time when I've ever answered that question by saying, oh, I'm the salt of the earth, or I'm the light of the world. I'm sure that's probably the same for you. Have you ever answered that way? Has anyone ever answered you that way? I'm guessing probably not. But why not? Even if we've never said it aloud, do we ever think of ourselves that way? Do we know that about ourselves? Jesus knows that about us. Jesus thinks that about us. Jesus even says that about us, right there in today's gospel which we've just heard. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Surely Jesus doesn't mean you or me. Surely he's talking about other people, the saints, great theologians, the doctors of the church. No, in reality, Jesus is talking about you and me. Don't imagine for one minute that this is about somebody other than you. Jesus isn't talking to particular individuals. He's talking to the crowds that have followed him from Galilee, the 10 cities known as the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. That means they've come from everywhere. They've come to see this one they've heard about. They've come to listen and learn, to be healed, have their lives put back together. They've come in search of meaning, direction, and purpose. You and I stand among that crowd. We're one of them. We've come today to see this one we've heard about. We've come to listen and learn, to be healed, and to have our lives put back together. We've come in search of meaning, direction, and purpose. Jesus' words are as true and applicable today as they were 2,000 years ago. You are the salt of the earth. Are the light of the world. Now we know that in ancient times salt was extremely important, a very valuable commodity. We know that salt is essential to life, to maintain the health of the body. Although modern medical science tells us also that too much salt, as with most things, is bad for us, creating a risk of high blood pressure and heart disease. But in Jesus' time, there were no freezers or refrigerators, and so salt was an important way to preserve food and keep it wholesome for long periods. In addition, of course, we use it as a flavour enhancer. Now, I'm one of those people who tries to avoid adding salt to my food, but I have to say I like nothing better than a salad of crisp cos lettuce. Other lettuces are available. I'm one of those people who then smother it with vinaigrette or salad cream or mayonnaise. For me, all it needs is a light sprinkle of salt to bring out the flavour, rather than masking that flavour with some weird and expensive dressing. Now all of this would have been well understood by those who heard Jesus. There are profound implications to being named salt. That we are to flavour the world. We are to season and transform human activity in such a way that it reveals God in this world. What of Jesus' second metaphor? That we are to be light. Imagine if you lived in first century Palestine. The day everything was lit up by the blinding, burning light of the sun. No street lights, no electric light in your home. All you had to see around you would be the flickering lights of an oil lamp. Or if you went out, you'd need to take a flaming torch to let you see the way ahead and keep the wild animals at bay. The darkness of night would be like a blanket covering the earth. But lucky, there might be a full moon whose light might at least give you a reasonable chance of seeing the way forward. Again, those who heard Jesus would have easily understood this illusion he was using. Jesus says at verse 14 that you would not hide a light, in our translation this morning, under a pole, but place it on a lampstand so that it can be seen by all and illuminate everything around it. That's what we are to be as his followers. It means we are to help people better see God's life in theirs. It means we are to enlighten the dark places of the world. You and I are the means by which God flavors and illuminates life and the world. Last week, the Feast of the Presentation of Christ, was Christ's gospel on that feast showed us to be God receivers. This week's Christ's Gospel shows us and calls us to be God givers, God sharers. Christ has given us the salt and light of his divinity, not just for ourselves, but that others might eat and see better. The salt of divinity that was poured into our hands, we are to sprinkle onto the world. The light of divinity that fills our hearts and minds is to shine on and brighten all of life. So what does that look like? What does that mean for us? I think it's really very practical and tangible. Something that can be trusted and seen. It makes a difference in the world and to other people. It's looking another in the eyes, speaking a kind word, and acknowledging him or her as having been created in the image and likeness of God. Try that with someone that you stereotyped as a ne'er-do-well or an outsider. It's challenging and it's difficult. But that is what Jesus is asking us to do. Also, generosity with your compassion, time and money. Care for and make a difference in the lives of the poor, the hungry, the homeless. It's starting a conversation and rebuilding a relationship with what you really think is indifference, pain or anger. It's praying that God will bless with all the good gifts you want for yourself and those you love, those who have hurt you, those who are different from you, and those with whom you disagree. The prophet Isaiah speaks of loosing the bonds of injustice and letting the oppressed go free. So maybe salt and light look like politics that are not dependent on control and power, that establish a society of equality and diversity, and that recognise the dignity of every human. Would you support that kind of legislation? Vote for that kind of candidate? Maybe even campaign as that candidate? It's faithfulness and commitment to others, shown by listening, being available, and spending time. It means slowing down, rearranging your schedule, and valuing presence over efficiency and productivity. It's choosing a life of self-giving rather than taking and acquiring. Vulnerability rather than defensiveness. Intimacy rather than isolation. You might and probably will get hurt. It's loving God, your neighbour, your enemy, and yourself. It means choice overcomes feeling. There's some thoughts to ponder upon. Where is the salt and life in your life? What does it look like? How does it show up? There are probably as many expressions and manifestations of salt and light as there are people. Ultimately, though, they always look like the life of Jesus Christ. This is what we aspire to be, the salt and light of the earth. It will never be easy, but then Jesus never said that he had come to make our lives easy. On our own, there's no way that we can discharge this role adequately. We take courage in the knowledge that whilst Jesus has given us this onerous task, he remains alongside us to encourage us, to support us, and to gently admonish us to do better. Lord, align our hearts to your purpose this morning. Give us passion and courage, and help us to be salt and light to the world around.